And thanks again to everyone that's read. Hope to open a meeting. I'll take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. It's a warm, warm welcome to any visitors with us for the first time. We're glad you're with us. A massive welcome to anyone that might be new to NA with us this evening. We hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So, like I said, we do have a speaker, and they're going to share their experience, strength, and hope with us for 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with. The journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to our wonderful new share getter, Helen, who's going to introduce them. So, Helen, over to you.
Hi everyone, I'm Elaine. I'm an addict.
Hello.
Hello.
Helen.
What an honor to be able to find these beautiful sharers, and I'm so excited to have with us this very, very special person in my recovery. That's pretty much there every day in my morning recovery. I feel very inspired by everything I just to be around her and hear her story, and she just brings so much positivity, and can-do attitude with so much grace in the face of so many things that life on life terms can bring. So it's my absolute pleasure, honor to welcome Ta. Ta, and the floor is yours. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Helen.
Helen. That's lovely.
Hi, I'm Tan. I am an addict.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah,
Welcome. Welcome.
hi,
This is my first time doing a no video. I forgot that Helen had told me this. And what an introduction. Thank you. Oh, so I'm Tan. I'm an addict. Yes, I go through. I'm not so well today and these days. I'm going through some things. I mean, I'm sure later when I look back at it, it'll be like, oh, anyway, lately I'm just saying this too shall pass, I'm going to get back to that. So let me start from my experience, strength, and hope. So I was born in Vietnam during the war, actually. And then there was the fall of Saigon. My mom escaped with her four kids to America. And there I grew up in San Francisco. My father was a prisoner of war. He was kept there. So they took him when I was 12, and I saw him when I was 2, and I saw him when I was 12. Anyway, so before that, we're in America, and growing up, let's see. I was the caretaker in my family. I was the youngest. My brothers and sister, we were, let's say, 6 years, 5 years, and 4 years difference. And I was the youngest, but I was the caretaker. My mom gave me that role. At that time, I guess when I only learned in recovery, I think during that time when I was growing up, I probably felt powerful, I guess you could say. Also, like, my mom depended on, I mean, one thought I could do all of this, take care of everyone, and fix people. Meaning, so my brother was an addict, age 17. I had also a mentally handicapped sister, whom I was in charge of looking after. So she was my older sister. I mean, I became her mom, you could say, because my mom was a single parent working. So at age 12, I was sent to talk to my mom said, you go talk to your brother. He's 17 now and he's hanging out with a bad crowd and he's using drugs. And my mom said, you go talk to your brother and tell him what he's doing to us. So here I am to age 12 going to my, I remember talking to him at the front of at the gate in the house and telling him. And thinking it really works, right? That I'm telling him, and you have to stop using drugs, and you're destroying our family, blah blah blah. And classic addict, he at the end he says to me, "Oh yeah, he's very charming as addicts, I'm gonna stop, okay, anyway, I need money for lunch. Could you give me $20? It's I can laugh, and this was the story of my life with my brother until I got in recovery and I learned to say no. And I learned to just I learned to say no and not enable him. Unfortunately, my brother is still out there. But I have a boundary with him and my mother who enables him. That's his thing, it's none of my business, his life and his drug use. So anyway, okay, so I grew up, my mom had a boyfriend who used to he had sexually abused me for a while. And I this is a I told my mom, but she didn't. I felt she just left me. She didn't really want to believe it. So that I don't know, that and just being responsible for everything and being set up to fix everything. And I can't fix everybody, and I can't fix everything because my brother still continues to, use drugs. And my sister, they always wanted me later. Wanted the, my mom later. My father joins us in America, but they were always expecting me to make my sister normal, and so I was also like I felt that I could, I guess, but I couldn't. And this made me feel like I failed at everything. And everything was about no, I just had really low self-esteem. Felt I was walking around. I used to feel always like I was a walking mistake. I always fantasized. There used to be a TV show that was a black and white TV show, and everything was always perfect in there. There was a family. It was called Leave It to Beaver, and I used to always fantasize wanting to live in that time, thinking I was in the wrong, born in the wrong family. Anyway, I tried my best to do everything for my family, you could say, my parents, but nothing was ever enough. I mean, I could get, I did well in school. I could come home with a report card that had all A's and one B, and I would, and my father would call me out on the B. Nothing was ever good enough. So let's see. I get into, let's see. I was introduced into drugs. I was a good student, and I made it to a very good university and everything. At the same time, I'm a very tall girl. I have a very tall Asian woman, and And I get approached by a modeling scout. So that was a way of, and they wanted to send me to Europe, and they did. It was a way, I didn't know that. I went to Europe, I did my work, and I never came back to the States. Because oh, by the way, I live in Greece right now. So I had gone to Milan, and then I went on holiday in Greece, and I met an addict, I met a junkie, and I thought, oh, this is love, because my role would be fixing him, right? And I just went from one dysfunctional family to another, you know, that's what I was familiar with. So I'm in Greece, I meet this addict, and I'm gonna fix him. And then I just started using too. And when I first used my drug of choice, I just felt like, oh my God, this is what I need. This is what makes it took away all my feeling of shame, feeling of it numbed all my feelings. It just made me feel like this was the answer to being me. I remember that's what that was. This is the answer to being me. So I stayed with this addict. We traveled. We used to travel to India to get clean. Or we would travel to Thailand to get clean. Or we would travel to Colombia thinking we'll use another drug to get clean. This is, I mean, I look back, I'm kind of laughing in my head. These are the insane things, you know, I used to do. See, I was just lucky that nothing really, I didn't get into really big trouble. I was close to. I have been arrested. The places I ended up, I just was, you know, there must have been a higher, there was a higher power looking after me, you know. Anyway, so oh, sorry, I get really nervous when I share. Thank goodness the camera's not on because I'm so sweaty right now.
You're doing really well.
Thank
Like I said,
you.
that is really interesting. Thank you.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. So let's see. You know, I think I eventually at the end of my using, I just, you know, I was praying. I was just praying. I would be praying every day, every night before I go to bed to not wake up. And I had it wasn't a it was a very isolated user, you know, closed dark, you know, closed curtains, dark, did not trust anybody, did not socialize or anything. So I was quite lonely, you know, I became very isolated and lonely. I was also really always very shy. By the end of my using, I was praying for this, and I remember that at that time I was in the States, so I would usually go back home in the States and get clean, you know, but that time I didn't. I was just using other drugs, and I had checked myself. I actually was visiting my mom. I would stay there, and she caught me. Oh, by the way, I'm like really good at hiding. Because I was good at hiding my using. I'm good at looking good outside, you know, because that's what I grew up in a family like that. We looked good from the outside, you know. And then there would be all this darkness inside. I go home that year, and my mom catches me. She opens my room, and she catches me using smoking something, and she just closes the door. And I'm thinking, oh my God, she's gonna, she will confront me now. And what am I gonna say? But of course, I grew up. I mean, my mom is quite dysfunctional. I open the door, and all she says is, I think it's time you leave and you stay somewhere else,
Oh my God, they're all the same. My mum's all the fucking same.
and so I go and I check myself in a drug motel, which I didn't know that it was a drug motel. But I mean, this is wherever I went, I always found drugs. And because I attract it because that's who I was. Anyway, I'm in this drug motel, and one day I get a knock on the door. It's my mom, and my mom says, because the most important person in my life is it was my sister, because she was like I kind of raised, I grew up with her, but I took care of her. I was like her mom. And she says, your sister. So my sister is, mentally handicapped. So she doesn't show the mind of a child, and she just reacts to her feelings, And so my father was not a very nice father. He used to be very verbally abusive. And my sister. Apparently, my mom knocks on the door, tells me your sister's been arrested, and so my sister had stabbed my father, but missed a vital organ, so he survived. But they arrested her, and they were charging her with attempted murder. And what woke me up was that there was visiting hours, and I couldn't make the visiting hours because I was too busy looking. Looking for my drugs or using, and this was, see, I'm a very responsible person, you could say, and a very controlled person, and so I was good at hiding my drug use and good at just looking okay, and so I realized like this, there's something wrong, Todd. You can't be. Because my sister imagined she's like my child, and I could not go and see her, or I didn't make the visiting hours because I was too busy using. And that was sort of my wake-up call. Let's see, I leave the States, I go back to Greece, and I heard there was a meeting, an English-speaking meeting, because once a week or something. And I used to go, I would go to that, but I also heard there was an AA meeting twice a day. So I used AA to get clean. I come in, I don't know, I was so broken, So I was such a sad, broken person. I don't know. Anyway, all I knew is I was going to the meetings. I was on a pink cloud. I got a sponsor. She made me call her every day. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't really, but I was willing and open, One thing I noticed about the recovery and people in there that we were happy, and I remember thinking, all I wanted. As a kid, whenever they said, "What do you want when you grow up? Want to be when you grow up?" I used to always say, "I just want to be happy." I think in my teens, I was also, I always wanted to die, you could say. And drugs saved my life in a way, because if I hadn't started using drugs, I think I would have just killed myself or something. But then the drugs weren't working anymore, and then I was just praying before I went to sleep not to wake up, and I would be so disappointed when I woke up. So anyway, the meet I started, went to the meetings every day, twice a day. I had a sponsor who called me. He said, "You, honey, you have to call me." And I said, "But I was so uncomfortable with that." And I said, "But what would I say?" He said, "I don't care. You just call me and say hello." And I noticed I would call and just she would like I would just say how I felt or what was going on. And often she would laugh. She would laugh. She wasn't laughing at me, but I knew that. But she would laugh because a lot of times, every time actually, I would say things that came out. My addict thinking, was hilarious. The things I would say, because it was just warped. So warped, this thinking. So she made me see that what I am. It was quite she learned taught me how to laugh at myself, and anyway, in recovery, I meet another addict also. I was lucky it worked. We were together. I had we had we got married, had a child together. We were 15 years together, and then also I want to say about my sponsor and the steps. The most important thing I got from all the recovery and working the steps was finding out who I am, and I realized I wasn't. I used to just have such low self-esteem. Even outside, you think I was confident, because of how, but I was so painfully shy and had such low self-esteem. And was the program has given me this. I know my worth today. I know my worth today, and sometimes I forget, but in general, I know. So anyway, we were married. I had the child. It was, I thought, I mean, I had a wonderful time, until one day, my husband tells me I'm having an affair. I want to continue. Our marriage is over. It was literally like the rug being pulled from under me. It just happened suddenly, and that I had no, I had from pretty much from day one a very easy recovery. I went to meetings every day. Until the day I had my baby, meaning like I was going to meeting until I had my baby, and then I had to stay home for a bit. I couldn't do a meeting every day, but and I had a happy marriage and family life, and my ex-husband, it was kind of a perfect storm for him, and he had more a lot more years. He had 8 more years than I did. Yeah. At like 20 when he left me, and at 21 or 21 years, and it was it's a he his relapse taught me something. This disease is very cunning. We had this happy life, but Okay, at the same time, he didn't work on some issues, and he first he relapsed with a person, and then he relapsed with the drugs. But anyway, so for me, I really wanted to use when he told me that our life was over. You know, our marriage, my family life was over. I was about to celebrate 15 years, and I remember thinking, like, I was kind of angry at him too. I was like, "Fucker, you're not gonna take this. You're not gonna take my 15 years I'm about to celebrate, you know?" And also, you know what happened was that COVID happened, and it was kind of it was. It helped me because Zoom came and I could be in a meeting every day because here I couldn't be in a meeting every day. So I would go on these Zoom meetings and I learned to really share honestly and just cry. And I got all the support from you guys. And it was a really it had been a I've had really tough years these past years. So my marriage ends and my ex relapse and I have a you know I had a now she's 14 but then she was 10 years old and I would what saved me was going on these Zoom meetings and sharing where I was at. You know, and just connecting. I learned that I felt better because, mind you, before my ex left and all that, I didn't have any challenges in my life. You know, nothing to threaten my recovery anyway. And so the past years have been really challenging. Whenever I celebrate my birthday, which is in July 11th, I just, this is when I remember where I come from. You know, this is when I remember where, like staying clean, like I'm so grateful that I'm clean, you know, and I'm clean today. You know, I made it through these past years with grace as well. So my ex-husband relapsed, and it was so bad. I would have my daughter would go to bed, and she would tell me at age 10, like, is daddy alive? Because you know he doesn't answer my texts. But can you imagine this little girl going to bed thinking that? And I would also be worried about telling my daughter, like, because he'd come close to death several times anyway, and I was always gracious with him. I don't think it's not codependency, it's just that the program has taught me about forgiveness, you know. I did check where my part in this my part in my marriage, and to be honest, I my part in it, I looked at it, and the main this tragedy of him leaving me made me see what an amazing person I was, like what a fucking awesome person I was, and I was like, wait, he left you? He left you because I was checking my list. You know, I was a good mom. I was a good wife. I did, you know, and because of this program, I had self-esteem and self-worth. You know, it had made me see that. Anyway, so the past years, I've raised my daughter. I have also encouraged her and her father, they have a good relationship. I have a good relationship with my ex, even I've been through really bad times with him, but I have this compassion for other addicts. It's not an excuse for his behavior, but I do have understanding and compassion for his behavior. Anyway, he's clean now. He's clean. We co-parent. In this the program, I mean, the only thing I usually am not a person who says I'm good at this or that. I'm really always like for my even though I'm much better with my self-worth, I never have this thing where I'm good at this and that. But the first time I ever said I was good at it was at anything was I'm a good mom. I'm a good mom, and because my daughter gets this program too from me. The program has taught me how to be compassionate and loving, especially to with my daughter. And what I'm going through right now is that so. I met someone and I have a, had a 4-year relationship with this person, and he's moved in, and my daughter is not so happy about that. She's 14. She tells me, "Couldn't you wait until I'm 18?" And can't he live somewhere else? And it's quite easy, for me to. It would be easy to end the relationship. It would be easy to run away from all these like uncomfortable feelings. But I don't. I can't. So I'm being brave by telling my, putting myself. I would do anything for my daughter. But at the same time, this was unreasonable. So her, her, so her father and I, we're in a good place, and he lives just half a block away. So my daughter's solution is, at first, she said it from anger, but if she wants to go through it, I'm there to support her. Her solution is that she wants to go live with her father. And this is where I'm a bit sad right now. It is sad, but I will support her and let her see, experience this. This is her, she wants to choose this. Okay, I'm hoping also that it's just talk. But whatever. Whatever it is, I'll be there to support her. This is where I am today. Yeah, but I don't wanna, I didn't have this program, I would get angry. I would manipulate, I would shame her. We can have this this little this disagreement or conflict. But we all can also have, she and I have a great relationship. We have it. She might feel like this, and she tells me she can come to me and tell me how she feels, and how, you know, she's not happy with this or that. You know, I didn't have that with my mom. You know, so I'm doing okay. I'm doing great as a parent that I have this kid who can come to me and say these things, you know, and trust that she can come to me and say these things, you know. So yeah, how much more time? Oh my gosh. And by the way, my God, 40, 45 minutes is a long time. I was quite dreading it. So yeah, I think I'm gonna stop soon. But I am so grateful for NA. It's made me such a, you know, no, you know, stopping drugs, okay, but it's made me like, it's just I'm very comfortable in my skin, you know. My head tries to tell me, my disease sometimes, you know, when I'm vulnerable and this is what is happening right now, says, "Oh, you did it all wrong. You've done it all wrong. You're such a bad mom," you know, or what? And it's the disease that comes up sometimes, you know. It's when I'm vulnerable, but then I have enough recovery in me that says, "Hold on, you know, is this?" This is okay. It's when I'm in my self-pity is when I want to do all the, "Oh, you're all wrong" kind of thing. And I don't see what I remember. I used to walk around thinking I was such a big mistake, and in early recovery too. "What the fuck is wrong with you?" It was my how I used to speak to myself, you know. And one day, I don't know how many some years in recovery, I realized that I stopped. It had stopped, that talk. It comes back sometimes, but it wasn't daily anymore. It's not that often. I mean, it comes back, but very rarely. And I can talk to it, you know. I know it's my disease, you know. So, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna end the share. Thank you for letting me share. Yes, it's quite odd not seeing anybody's face. It's quite calming as well. Thank you for letting me share, everyone. And thank you for helping me stay clean and stay pretty sane. Yeah, I'm going through life on life's terms. Yeah. Thank you.